Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. Today, I've been so excited. Oh my goodness. It's a celebrity I've got for you today, right? And it's from a show called The Apprentice. I'm sure you're aware of it. It's a show that's streamed in UK and in USA now. And it's by Lord Alan Sugar. He's the one in UK. And he takes 16 entrepreneurs from scratch through a journey. And they're actually competing with themselves to win a prize at the end, which is like an investment to work with Lord Sugar and his money as well for the business. So I've brought on a runner-up. She was in the top two last episode. I've been watching her very, very carefully. I actually love her personality. So she's actually from UK as well. And she's coming in live. Bianca Miller, my goodness. Welcome to the I Have a Dream Show.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome to have you here.
I'm so happy to be on the show. Finally.
Finally, I know. I mean, it was actually booked for a few weeks ago, but unfortunately, I was ill. But it's amazing to see so many people turn up today. So what we're going to do today, guys, so any of you that are looking to maybe enroll for the, actually sign up for the apprentice program and actually be a candidate, we'll give you tips for that, how Bianca did it. And she's going to talk to you about active learning, so what she actually learned through the tasks that are given weekly on the actual show. And she's going to give some branding tips, which is, she's an expert in that. So we're going to learn how to actually brand yourself in the marketplace and whatever you're doing. So Bianca, I just want to know first, okay, about you. What were you doing before the actual apprentice show?
So I finished university and was working for a large corporate organization called Accenture. And basically I was the HR advisor for 350 of their graduates.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was after graduating myself. So I was working with those graduates on their personal development, their journey. And then I loved what I was doing at Accenture, but I didn't really want to stay in corporate life. I wanted to actually get into business. So I left Accenture.
Right.
Went into recruitment, thought that was a great way of learning about recruitment and what that's like, and realized that quite quickly I didn't like recruitment. I loved the interaction with people. I loved helping them with their personal development, their personal brand, their networking skills, their CV writing, but I didn't like the actual requirements within a corporate kind of sector.
Right.
So I left recruitment and started my business, the B Group.
Wow.
Basically, what we do is offer personal branding services. So employability, I go and help unemployed people and students understand how to be more employable, looking at their CVs, interview skills, how to dress, how to shake hands, how to network. And then personal branding, I go into corporates and deliver workshops and coaching on personal branding. And then finally, styling. So I have a team of stylists who take my clients shopping and help them to look the part to suit their personal brand. So we're the personal stylists for Westfield, by gift.com, Red Letter Day. And that's really what I was doing for 3 years before I went into The Apprentice.
That's brilliant. So Bianca, advice for you, for the people that are doing things they don't want to do, like a step from corporate world into your own business. How did you take that step? Because it's quite scary. I mean, you don't have a monthly check to look forward to. Yeah. It's like going into uncertainty. So how did you actually deal with that?
It was really scary because I had, at the time, I just bought a flat with my partner. We had a mortgage to pay. I was meant to contribute to the bills. Yeah. Suddenly, I decided to take that big step, leave my monthly check, monthly salary, and go into that world of, entrepreneurship and business. And it was a leap of faith. So I did manage to get some private investment for the business. So that helped a lot with the kind of day-to-day running costs. But essentially, I had to build my client list from scratch. You know, literally just get out there and take a leap of faith.
You got to do it. You just got to do it. Follow your passion, right? Just take that leap and just go ahead and just do it.
You regret it and you look back and you think, oh, I wonder if I could have, or I should have. And yeah. I thought at the time, do I do this now? And potentially, I was 23 at the time, or 22. Wow. Do I do it now and take the leap of faith? And potentially, if the business doesn't do well, I can go back and get a job. Or do I wait and then be more senior? And it's much harder to leave once you become more senior in a role. So
that's fantastic. Absolutely. Guys, keep your questions coming in. There's also welcome at ihaveadreamshow.com. I take your questions there as well. So we'll take your questions as we go along. But digging in a bit deeper to Bianca. So Bianca, okay, you're in the world of entrepreneurship. Why The Apprentice? What made you actually want to explore that program?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I was kind of 2.5 years into the business. It was going well. I had some great corporate clients, great university clients. And I'd always had this issue with finding skin tone tights, nude tights. And in corporate life, I wanted these nude tights that matched my skin tone, could never find it, but realized it was going to be quite an expensive arena to get into. So kind of put it aside and just got on with life, really. And then one day, my partner came home and said to me, Bianca, the applications for The Apprentice are open. I was like, oh, that's great. And he's like, why don't you apply? I was like, no, thanks. And he was like, what do you mean, no? And I said, you know, I'm a fan of the show, but I didn't really want to be famous. I knew the kind of aggressive nature of the show. I knew how much they could embarrass you and how you could do something really stupid and lose all your clients.
Yeah.
So I was really worried. But at the same time, I'm really very much a believer of it's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried.
Brilliant. Yes.
And life being about experience. And so I thought, it's an opportunity. Go for the auditions. See where you get to.
Do you know what? I think it's so, so brave, because at the end of the day, it's like your whole career is on the line, because I feel for the first people that actually get fired. You know, I think, okay, they didn't really get much of a chance, but absolutely. In another way, I think they're really brave for doing that. I think I can't commend them enough to actually go live on a TV show like that.
I think not enough people think like that, if I'm honest with you, Princess, because some people would be like, oh God, she got fired in week one, she must be rubbish. But the reality is, there was 80,000 people applied.
Yes, exactly.
Even on the show is something.
It's an achievement itself, absolutely. Now, as we are talking about that, 80,000, you say. So, guys, hi from Meerkat. Say hi, Bianca. Meerkat people. Meerkat people are my favorite, because they always love and share the stream. So, guys, just retweet and you can share it, and then I'll give you a nice bonus for doing that. Okay, so, Bianca, 80,000 people. I mean, obviously, they're going through applicants. What do you think stands out then? Who are these judges? What are they like? And what are they looking for in a person?
I think they're looking, you can never be sure what they're looking for. I think every year the criteria changes. However, I think they're looking for someone who has great business background, has something interesting about them, has a little bit of a kind of pizzazz and flair. You want someone who's interesting, because at the end of the day, it is television. And I think they like to have a balance of the people who are quite serious business people, if I'm honest, and the people who are just really good entertainment. It's hard to say where you want to be in that position, but that's, I think, what they look for in order to create that kind of round picture of a good show that people can identify characters that they find funny, or that they feel are quite like them, or that they want to support. And I think that's how they choose.
I think it's really interesting you say that, because entertainment is a big factor of The Apprentice. I feel very entertained when I watch you, you know. The mixture, I think, is very, very smart the way they've done that. Mixture of business, so learning while being entertained as well. So that's a pretty smart move with them. Guys, yep, Meerkat people, just go ahead and ask questions here as well. I'll be taking them here. But okay, so the question I'm getting here at the moment is from Kenneth. Kenneth, thank you so much for tuning into the I Have a Dream show. He's saying that, do you get video interviews? So do you get a chance to actually show yourself on video before being selected?
Yeah, so you can see the audition on the BBC website and on YouTube. So the videos that you see of the candidates prior to the show coming out, those are the video interviews that we had.
Right.
You probably find that some of the interviews are a bit over the top. And a bit, they say really stupid things. It's because you're under pressure. You've been there the whole day going through the process. And then you really are trying to compete. You know you're trying to compete against some of the other people who want to be in the show. So you kind of give a bit more than you probably would in a normal scenario.
Right, so what would you say? Say, be yourself, just kind of like, you know, just, I mean, do you have to brag on this and that?
I don't know. If I'm honest, I tried not to brag. I just tried to be honest and say, this is what I'm about. And I was very much myself. I really believe, as a personal branding expert, that it's about you putting the best version of yourself forward.
Absolutely.
So I was always myself and putting my best foot forward, as you would in any interview.
Yes, and
I think that's more realistic than you trying to be this kind of character and actually finding they didn't want that character. They want you.
They want you as a person. Excellent, excellent, absolutely fantastic. Right, so when you got selected, when you get the call or however way you get the, you know, you're told that you're going to be on the show, what was your reaction?
I think it was excitement, but it was also, I was quite nervous because, yes, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know how well you're going to do. You don't know if you're going to get fired in week one. You can't tell your friends and family. So it's all kind of quite a lot of nervousness that came with it, but also excitement with what could be and what could happen. And so, yeah, a mixture.
Excellent. It's a great way of actually getting yourself known as well, isn't it? I mean, those people that aren't really getting much marketing done, it's a good way of marketing yourself too, right? So there's no loss in it whatsoever.
Well, there is, because you could look really bad. You could do something really stupid. You could do something embarrassing that you would never do in life because you're under pressure and because you haven't eaten and you haven't slept. But, you know, so there are some people come out of it not looking great, if I'm honest.
Right.
There is a negative. And again, you could get fired week 1 to 4 and either get forgotten about, which you might want at that point, or people see, know you as the person who got fired, really.
Oh, gosh. Right, excellent, excellent. Okay, right. Okay, guys. Okay, so Bianca, tell me, so when you actually got into the show, did you get to meet Lord Sugar firsthand? Did he give you advice beforehand what to do, or did you
just... No, you just go straight into it.
Go straight into it. Right, so you just, so what was it like meeting the other people in the house then?
It was So the first day you go into the boardroom and you haven't met anyone. So you you're in silence and you're kind of looking at each other, trying to work out who the competition is, what that person's about, or literally via what they're wearing and how they're sitting or standing.
Right.
And then you get to know them and you realise, you know, you're going to have to spend X amount of time with 16 strangers.
Right.
That is quite tough, just being in a house, 16 people you don't know, day in, day out, you know, no mobile phone, little communication with your friends and family. That's hard.
That's, do you know, in a way it's amazing because you're building so many skills here. You know, you're put in a very extreme situation, you know, where you've cut off from, there's one part where you're cut off from the noise, which is good for focus, but then you're put into a situation where you're competing against each other. You have to be very good morally. You have to keep a balance principle-wise, you know, not step on anyone to go forward. And all these skills, it's just an amazing opportunity, I think. How did you actually do that? I mean, what did you learn?
It's so unusual because you are in a bubble, because you're contained in this space with people you don't know, who you have to get to know, and you can become friendly with, but at the end of the day, they're competing against you. They want to win as much as you do. And equally, you are cut away from the world, so you've kind of got an opportunity to focus, but you really want to see your friends and family. You really want to tell them what's happening.
Yeah.
So it is tough, but you do learn how to, I think I'm quite good at getting on with people anyway, but you do learn how to adapt, how to get on with new people, how to utilize their skill set and get to know their skill set quite quickly in order to utilize them in the right way in your team.
Excellent, yes.
You understand new principles in business and do things in business you've never done before, you've never even heard of some of the things you get asked to do on a task. And all without Google. So it's hard.
I love that. Absolutely brilliant. We've got a really good question coming in from Daniel from Spain. Thank you so much, Daniel, for joining the I Have a Dream show. He's asking a really good question. So leadership training, I think, is a really good trait. How do you become a leader in your group? So when you are assigned as a project manager, you have to lead these people that are competing against you.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy, ironic situation. But how do you actually become a leader of people that have to take you seriously?
Yeah, I think it's an unusual situation because in any other scenario, if you were leading a team, they would just say, okay, you're the leader, so I'll follow what you have to say. But actually, you're in a scenario where you're leading competitors, people who actually don't necessarily want you to do very well. And I think it's about pulling the team together and saying, look, team, if we work together, none of us get fired. It's about that common ground that actually, in order for us to win, we need to work together and be as effective as possible. And that way we're all safe. And I think that's really where the leadership comes in, utilizing people's skill set, listening to them, and then working together in order to get the outcome.
Because quite smart. The design of the show as well is quite smart, because the people that win get excluded from actually the firing line. So they have to work together regardless. So they have to put their ego aside, don't you? You have to work with your ego or not. It's literally disciplining yourself as a person.
Sure. But it's funny because you have to work as a team and put your ego aside, but you still have to maintain the fact that if you go into the boardroom and you lose, you have to say what you did and why you did it. You don't have to maintain that you are an individual, but you're an individual as part of a team. So it's very unusual.
Very unusual. It's amazing. I'm just thinking the actual like wisdom behind it, what you learn, you know, it's just crazy stuff going on at once. But okay, so Bianca, when it comes to you know, when you get along with people, then how do you adjust? So you just find out what their strengths are and or even accept the fact that you might not get along with someone and not try. I mean, how does that work then?
I think, you know, you have to, if you're in a team with someone and you don't get on with them, you still have to work with them. So in my scenario, when I was project manager, there was a guy on my team, James, who I didn't necessarily get on with very well in the previous but you know, the reality is, one, I think keep your enemies closer, so it's good to have him with me, but also try and get them on side, because it's too, the whole scenario is too important for you to continue a silly little rift or to continue having, you know, negative feeling about someone. You have to work together, because literally one day you're doing a task, someone gets fired, the next day you're doing another task. You just have to get on with it. So I think it teaches you resilience, but also teaches you about overcoming issues. You know, it's just, life is too short and the task is too short to really keep thinking about, oh God, wish I'd done that, or should I work with him, or I don't like what he did. You just have to focus
and have a purpose, right? Have a focus on the goal, get everyone aligned. You know, that kind of leadership is really important as well, getting everyone on the same type of thinking. Right, so I love that. That's absolutely brilliant. Okay, thank you so much for Restreams. Steady the camera. I'm so sorry, I will steady it. I'm moving around because Restream this. Thank you, D-Trucking, for restreaming this. Okay, so Bianca, what about, okay, so each task, you know, a lot of my students, I say to them, look, you know, get active, you know, do things actively. The theory part, learning here, learning there, you're going to learn what it is, but the actual learning is when you actually do the tasks.
Yeah.
Each week on The Apprentice, every week is different. So how do you feel that grows you as a business person as well?
I think it's a really interesting scenario, because you don't know what you're doing. So you literally get there and you get told what you're doing. So you really have to think on your toes. And that's a really important part of business, because there are times in business when you might not know what you're doing the next day, or you might not know when a client's going to throw something your way, and you have to be able to adapt. And I think a large proportion of The Apprentice is about your ability to adapt.
Right.
Kind of just get on board with anything they throw at you. And often you don't know anything about candles, or you don't know anything about cheesecake, but you have to get as much knowledge as you can from the people you meet, and then utilize that knowledge to kind of form your basis for your business and keep moving forward.
Excellent.
And I love the fact that in The Apprentice, you can create a business in 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't happen in life. It just doesn't. But it does show that, depending on who you know, what you know, and your resources, it can happen so much quicker. And I think it's a really good argument for networking, because, you know, your network is your net worth. The more you network, the more people you know, the easier it becomes in business, because you can just pick up that phone and say, hi, I don't know anything about this, but can you help me? You know, all of that really helps.
In business, I think that's an amazing point you made there, because I've noticed on the show, Alan Sugar provides those resources, right? Those contacts, the key contacts that you need to get your product launched, or, you know, the key contacts for the design work, agencies, you know, the right people to work with to build your business. So I think there's lots of lessons going on here, you know, there's so many things that people could tend to miss. Excellent stuff. So I've got a question here coming in from Timothy. Thank you again. Timothy? Yeah. Thank you for joining the I Have a Dream Show, Timothy. He's asking, how do you stay emotionally balanced? So how to control anger, mismanagement, things like that. How do you actually deal with that?
I think two things. One, it's about breathing. Mm-hmm. I think there are times when you just have to take a deep breath, take a moment, mm-hmm. and kind of think, okay, not happy about that, or I don't like the way that was dealt with, and just take a moment to think about your next step.
Right.
If you just react, I think that's when the issue happens. The second thing is having that opportunity to rant. So in The Apprentice, you have an opportunity to go to the camera and talk about that person or rant about that person. It's not always the best thing to do because you're angry and you say things you might not usually say, but that opportunity to just kind of just drop all the information, just tell people what you're angry about, and that is really good, really relieving. So even if that means in your room, in the bathroom, having a rant by yourself, just get that out, have that release.
Excellent. And it is to get it over it very fast, isn't it? You have to move fast, because in the real world, you're probably talking to friends about it, it gets dragged on, and the emotions get installed inside, and you don't let go faster. Yeah. So I think this is a really good learning for you to let go of things faster and move on faster, yeah?
You just don't have time to dwell. You just have to get on with it.
Well, I love that. So, oh my God, so I could talk to you forever, Bianca. This is so, so interesting. Okay, so Bianca, on the show, obviously you became like in the top two. The pressure at that last moment, tell me your feelings on the last kind of delivery. What were you expecting? Were you expecting to win? Do you have to have that vision of winning? How does it work?
I think throughout the process, I had that vision of winning. I think you have to maintain that vision just to keep you going, because it is so stressful. I think the television actually makes it look a lot easier. It looks hard, but easier than it is, because you are under immense pressure. You're working ridiculously long hours. You have limited food, limited sleep. And so actually, that pressure could really get to you. So you have to maintain that vision of winning and just keep looking towards that end goal. Uh-huh. And then on that final night, to be honest, it was a mixture of things. One, relief that actually it was going to be over. I was going to get to go and see my friends and family again,
right.
My loved ones. And two, just relief that actually this is the end now and I can only do the best that I can do. And if I win, then fantastic. If I don't, then I've put everything into it. Yeah. And I would never be disappointed that I hadn't done this, that or the other.
I think you're a winner, because the experience that you've gained is so much worth more, isn't it, than the actual investment itself? Because you can take that experience and build any business you want then.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's more worthy of the actual show and the process. So it's not about always about winning. You are a winner anyway. So I love that. Excellent. So what about after the show then? So what do you think, your friends and family, they didn't see you for quite a long time. Did they see a difference in you?
I don't know. I've never asked them that question actually. I think the difference they see is probably when I'm out and about with them and people stop me in the street and say, Bianca, you've inspired me to start a business, or Bianca, can I have a selfie with you? That's probably for them, that's probably the biggest difference. I've probably always been the same Bianca that they've always known. So I don't think much has changed from their perspective.
What about like decision making and things like that? Do you think you have improved those skills in that? Because business is a mixture of home and work, So some principles you can actually use in your home as well that help your home life and keep a balance between business and personal. So maybe in the house, maybe dealing with things.
I'm probably a lot calmer. Because I've learned to tolerate individuals that I wouldn't in normal life. But I think in my decision making process is probably the same. Right. I think actually now I'm more cautious in business, right. Because I feel like often there's so many eyes on me and so much expectation that unfortunately an entrepreneur just generally is quite a risk-taking person.
Yes.
You analyze risk, of course, you moderate risk. I'm particularly quite risk-averse actually, because I like to calculate my risk first.
Yes.
Now I have so many people, I think, looking at my movements, I feel like I have to be more cautious about what I do.
it's like a status now, isn't it, that you have to kind of live up to all the time. And the room for mistakes, I mean, everyone makes mistakes, even me, yeah. Still make mistakes, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a bit more pressure being a celebrity and people watching you. But that's brilliant. I love that you actually mentioned that. Okay, a question coming in from Susie. Thank you very much, Susie, for joining the I Have a Dream show. She's asking about branding now. So let's talk about branding. She's in network marketing. I think we spoke about this just before the show, Bianca, where, you know, they're selling the same type of products and she wants to stand out from her fellow distributors.
Yeah.
Susie, if you can tell me a little bit about what you're doing so we can actually maybe be a bit more specific to you, but standing out from other distributors, yeah, in general, Bianca, what would you say is a good tip for branding yourself?
I think generally in business you need to differentiate yourself from your competition. So yeah, particularly in network marketing, when you're selling the same product at the same price point, the way you differentiate yourself is really about you and your personal brand. So I think it's about building relationships with clients, getting to know the client, what their needs are, what their financial status is, what you can do for them. I think that's so important and core to you actually building the business. So, for example, if you get to know one client and you know everything about them, you know what they do, and you do a fantastic job, they're going to be a fantastic brand ambassador for you.
Excellent.
They're going to be the person that goes out there and talks about how fantastic you are and how fantastic your product is. And they're the person who will tell all their friends and family and create that second client.
Yes.
That second client becomes a brand ambassador again and tells a third client. And I feel that's how you build that database and that kind of foundation of clients, is by doing good service, but also building relationships where that person feels almost accountable that they want you to do well as well. They're invested in your future because you've been doing a great job and there's no reason for them to go elsewhere to buy that same product.
Excellent. So word of mouth advertising has always been powerful, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why people underestimate. I know there's, you can buy, you know, ads and put advertisements up, but word of mouth, giving that wow experience,
yes,
to the customer is much more powerful because they can tell 10 people.
Much more powerful, much cheaper.
Much cheaper as well. And it takes longer, but I think it's much more worthwhile to do that. So yeah, Thank you for that. Personal branding and business branding, what's the difference?
So personal branding is about you branding yourself, the individual. Now, in business, people buy from people. Uh-huh. So if you brand yourself in the right way, people build that relationship with you, and your business is not secondary. It is an important part of that branding process.
Right.
If you are the forefront and the face of that business and you are a great person, you've got delivering great service, there's a relationship built, you are being given referrals, that will help your business. I think too many people hide behind the business and yeah, don't do themselves and what they should be doing. Right. And nowadays, I think there's so much of the same product or service out there that the way you differentiate yourself is by you, right, you the person.
Yes.
And I think that's key.
So say, for instance, like you are a single mother, for instance, you can actually brand yourself as a single mother, you know, that you're looking after your children and you're doing a business alongside.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with actually sharing your family inside your business as well, because that differentiates you, that attracts a certain market, doesn't it?
And the reality is, if you're a single mother and your target market happens to be other single mothers, you've got something on me who has no children.
Exactly.
You know, you can utilize your difference, your point of difference, to get more clientele. That's really what you should be looking at. And, you know, so when I look at personal branding, I'm talking about how you dress, how you communicate face to face, via social media, via networking events, how you approach clients. You know, what are you doing to get new clients and how are you retaining those clients? And also your knowledge and your experience. You know, what is your background?
Yes.
Why are you the best person to give them that product or service?
Got
That's
it.
Part of your personal brand.
Excellent. What about personal opinions? Should they come into it a little bit? Is there a mixture that you can have a balance? Because you don't want to offend people as well. You know, there might be people that disagree with what your opinions and values are. But is there a balance that you have to keep it kind of a bit neutral?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to offend clients or potential clients.
You're a Christian, you're a Jew, I'm not going to be
But it's not really about opinion. Personal branding is about you and your authentic self and right, being the best version of you.
Yeah.
So it's not really about your opinion, it's really about who you are and what you represent. And that then may form opinions of other people, but actually by you managing your personal brand, it is called impression management, you can manage the impression you have on other people and therefore the opinion they form. And that's really the position you want to be in.
Excellent, excellent. So where can they find out a little bit more about your services, Bianca? What link can we send them to?
Sure, the website is www.the-b-group.com.
Okay,
that's fine. Bravo Echo.
Excellent. Okay, I'll put the link under the show for the replay, guys. Yeah, I can't do it right now because I'll probably get all... But if I had like octopus hands, I'd probably... So
thebgroup.com, but with hyphens.
Right, thebgroup.com with hyphens. Okay, I'll put the link in below that. But excellent. So we're coming up to 30 minutes, Bianca. I know that you need to go, but just a final kind of like, you know, I mean, you are on the I Have a Dream show, so I have to ask you to share your dream. What is your dream?
My dream at the moment is to basically further the type of clients we have in the B Group. So I work with corporate companies like HSBC, American Express and so on, but I also work with universities and schools and colleges, and I'd like to do more with the corporate sector, but I'd also like the corporate sector to sponsor us to help more children. Because I truly believe that if we were taught some of these personal branding attributes from a younger age, it wouldn't come as such a surprise to us when we get into employment and in entrepreneurship. So I want more young people to know about social media and how to use it to build your network and get a job. I want more young people to realize the importance of personal presentation and communication. And I think that's really where I want the B Group to go. And then my second dream is to launch Bianca Miller London, which is the range of hosiery that I pitched in The Apprentice. I really have a passion for nude hosiery because I just find it so bizarre that the high street hasn't recognized the diversity. There are so many different skin tones in London, in England, in the world. And yet we still have one or two shades in the stores. We still have the Oxford Dictionary defining nude as a pinky beige color. I think it's
ridiculous. How dare they? You're so right. I have to either wear black tights or I have to wear like white tights, which make my legs look completely white and stupid. Yeah. So yeah, I just can't understand why they didn't actually think of this. So
that's my current dream. So expand my existing business and launch Bianca Miller London.
Excellent. That's absolutely fantastic. And guys looking for an investment, what is your advice for that? Do you need investment in today's age to get your business going, or can you actually build it like online through scratch, maybe, you know, finding customers online?
I think it depends on how much you need to survive. Right. So I always say to people starting a business, have a survival budget. How much do you need to pay your monthly bills, your rent, your mortgage, whatever that may be? How much do you need as a basis to survive? And then have you got 6 months worth of that money in order to have that just as a backup in case the business doesn't take off as quickly as you expect, or you don't get as many customers as you expect in the first 6 months? It's good to be able to not be panicking because you can't pay your bills. Yeah. But equally, some people manage to have a part-time job that gives them the income they need, and they start their business slowly and start building their client list, building their clientele. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to take a leap of faith. You can kind of balance the two and get to a point where you feel safe enough to leave your job and go into the world of business.
Excellent. That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you, T Busy, for retweeting this. You are awesome. Okay. So finally, Bianca, just a couple more questions before I let you go. I don't really want to let you go because I'm learning so much. But I'm having so much fun and all these people are going crazy. So what about like, okay, what's the fine line of having success? So you're trying and you're trying, but you're not getting much success. Do you need to look back and actually look at your model, or do you need to keep going? Because I don't like people giving up, you know, because it is a process you have to go through. It's a learning curve, you know how you have to stay in the game.
Yeah.
But when do you think is a time to actually say, okay, this is enough, it's not working, I need to move on?
I don't know, if I'm totally honest. I think it's such a tough question. Yeah. I think in business, there are so many obstacles to overcome. Yeah. And there's so many what maybe some people call failure, but I don't like to call it failure. I like to call it an obstacle. But yeah. It's really about understanding what went wrong. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And also listening to insights from customers, potential customers, previous customers, and friends and family sometimes, to make sure that you're getting the right information and going forward in the right way. And that may mean, like you said, getting a mentor, someone who can assist you and prevent you from making the mistakes that they made. You know, that is so key to success. And I also think that, you know, there's some statistic, I can't remember what it is exactly, but something like it takes nine businesses before you get one successful one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's right.
It takes time.
And the things that you need to learn, you need to become a... you need to become a certain person as well for success, don't you? Because it's not about the money, it's what you learn in the process as what you become to be successful. That's what it is about.
Yeah, it is. It takes time, it takes lots of energy, and there are so many pitfalls. And I think too often people are ready to talk about the wonderful successes and don't actually look at the hard work that came before that success. Yeah. And in England particularly, I think we're quite adverse to failure. In America, if you do a business and you don't do very well and it fails, people are like, okay, get up, do another one. But in England, you know, so many millionaires and billionaires have been bankrupt several times. But here it's perceived to be so negative that if you've not done well straight away, then you're not supposed to be in business. And that's not really the reality.
Oh, no, I love that. Thank you so much, Bianca. Guys, thank you so much for the questions. I'm sorry, we're at the end of the show. I usually make this go on a little bit, but, you know, we've got time.
Five more minutes, if that
Can we take a quick round? Can we take a quick fire round? Yeah, okay, all right, guys. Shoot me. Okay, Fiona, what books are you reading right now, Bianca?
Oh, God, what is the book called? That's not great, is it? I don't know what the book's called.
Anyone you recommend?
Hold on, one sec. Stay there. I'm going to go and get it.
We've got 5 minutes. Come on. Guys at Meerkat, thank you so much. Hold on, let me see. Guys at Meerkat, thank you so much.
I'm coming back. Okay, I'm currently reading.
Oh. Retweet and you'll get a bonus.
Change your life in 7 days.
Oh, fantastic. Who's that by?
Paul McKenna.
Paul McKenna. Oh, he's the hypnotherapist, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, that's what's in that book then? What would you gain from reading that book?
It's all about mind programming and thinking positively and reflecting. Yeah. And I think those are all crucial to business, but also life in general. Because in life, there will be successes and failures, relationships, friendships, and same as in business. So it's really about how you think about it, how you absorb that change.
Excellent. There you go, Fiona. Alia, she's saying, how did you handle any bad press, if you had any?
I did have bad press, unfortunately. And I think it's just part and parcel of being on television, unfortunately. People like to write bad things. Not the positive things that you do are not always the most interesting stories. Yes. Negativity sells. So yes, I just had to get over it, really. Absorb it and get over it.
Oh, do you know, it's the learning that you get out of it. It's all a learning curve, how you handle it, you know, that you have to detach from all that noise and all that rubbish. Because you're going to get haters as well, right? The more popular you get, you know, the more people that follow you.
If you look at probability and scale, you're going to have good and bad.
You're going to have good and bad, yes, absolutely fabulous. Okay, last couple of questions. Luke, thank you so much. Are you still in touch with Alan Sugar?
I am, actually. We email every now and again.
Oh, is he awesome?
Yep.
Super awesome. Excellent. Okay, and importance of mentorship. I think you've mentioned that. Stella. Thank you, Stella. Mentorship. So it's just to shorten your learning curve. Do you have a mentor?
I have a few mentors. I think you get different learning from everyone you meet, and mentoring is a really important part of my strategy.
Excellent.
We offer mentoring, if that helps.
You offer mentoring. That's brilliant. Okay, so Bianca, I'm launching this kind of new course and book called Clarity. So in your experience, how important is clarity above everything put aside? How important is someone to be clear on their purpose, their goals, their values, all that before starting a business?
I think having clarity is so important because it helps you to tell someone else about your dream.
Right.
If you can't explain your dream or what you intend to achieve to someone else, then it's going to be very difficult for them to understand what you're hoping to do. So having your own personal clarity helps you to communicate your strategy and your plans to other people.
That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been absolutely awesome to have you here. The replay will be up, so if you missed any bits, guys, thank you so much for retweeting Fly Franz. You've got such weird names on Twitter, you know? Fly Franz, thanks for tweeting this and liking this. Guys, anything that you need from the show, the links will be at the bottom of the replay, so you can connect with Bianca. She's on Facebook as well. Feel free to do that. And I'll also be sending out reminders for future shows. I don't know who I'm having. I've got a marketing class tonight for network marketers. So seven-figure business owners, they're actually teaching how to actually create a momentum over a 30-day period. So the person that joins your business, you've got a 30-day period of getting them active and becoming leaders to duplicate. Because network marketing without duplication, there's no point in having a business like that, right? So you're going to learn that tonight at 9 o'clock. I'll be back. Thank you so much, Bianca. You've been an absolute star. And we look forward to having more of you on the future shows.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Chase your dreams so I can bring you onto the Eye of a Dream show and share your journey with the world. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show, and don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show. And leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.